All right, so I'm here with Key. He's a good friend of mine. Quick little summary on Key. So he has a cool story of how he went from Hawaii to a D2 school, Colorado Mesa, and then end up transferring from that D2 up to Northern Colorado, where he's at right now. We've known each other for a good bit of time. Knows a lot about the recruiting space, about his brother as well with the recruiting process. So super excited to dive into it. Yeah, super glad to have you here, Key. I don't know, really what I would like to do is just, kind of give everybody a quick summary of your story. I know I kind of give the broad strokes there, but yeah, feel free to take a minute.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Trenton, and thanks for having me. Like you said, I'm from Hawaii, born and raised local boy from the islands. Grew up, football is my love and passion. I started playing since second grade and fell in love with it. And then as I got older, I watched the guys before me, like Tua and Marcus, do things at the college level, and I realized that's something I wanted to do with myself and my career. Played high school in Hawaii, and yeah, just wanted to play college football. One thing that changed my career, my senior year when COVID came around, I decided to Utah to play. So that was kind of a curveball. I didn't see that happening. I went to a school that was from kindergarten to 12, so it was kind of hard to leave all my teammates and stuff. But that was kind of a necessity at the time. Like you said, after that season in Utah, got offered to Colorado Mesa, which is D2 in Grand Junction, Colorado. I went out there for 3 years. Loved it out there. Had a good time playing high-level football and getting my education. Graduated with a degree in sport management, and then at the time I had 2 years left, and I just wanted to enter the portal and get to a D1. That was kind of always my dream. Yeah, I've been at University of Northern Colorado for now a year. I got one more season left, and that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Awesome, man. Yeah, a ton of things that we could talk about in terms of, like, I guess first off, a lot of people listen to this, if anybody's, checking this out, is probably parents from high school or, athletes that are in high school. Obviously, that process of being from Hawaii is so unique. I've worked with a couple athletes from Hawaii. Obviously, I know you that you're from Hawaii. Talk a little bit more about like some of the challenges that you guys have to face being kind of, out of the mainland US, obviously. Because I think that's a unique part of it and how you kind of challenge or at least kind of overcame some of those challenges as well in the recruiting process.
Yeah, for us, like throughout the whole process, we kind of knew we were like the under-recruited state, and it was going to be harder than everybody else because coaches have to fly, they have to put down money out of their budgets to see us in person. And I know a lot of coaches like to see people in person before they offer, life-changing scholarships. So that was always a chip on our shoulder. A lot of times, if you had some money, parents would send us up to camps, like junior, senior year. They could get our name out in front of college coaches, so that helped out a lot. But at some point, we realized like the social media, that was going to be our best bet because we had the same access to social media as everybody else did. So that was kind of my focus for me and my brother, and for others I've helped, like master the social media part of recruiting, because that's how these coaches could find you. And if you can play, if they can see it on their social media, they'll recruit you. So yeah, it was definitely a chip on your shoulder. But I've seen people before me make it out to college, so I knew it was, it wasn't too crazy of a jump. I think Coach Harbaugh was one of the ones who started to come down and start little satellite camps. It's good now. I feel like in 2025, most colleges are aware that Hawaii has ballers, and I like to continue that pipeline, moving forward.
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. And yeah, obviously, I think a lot of people know that there's good talent out there in Hawaii. It's just obviously geographically just makes things a little bit tougher for you guys to get out to the to US for camps. Like you said, coaches aren't really going to be that inclined to like, hey, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with going to visit Hawaii, but I'm sure all the coaches want to go out there, but just time-wise, it definitely takes up a lot of time, a lot of resources to get out there. Talk a little bit. I actually don't know this part of your story. Like, how did Colorado Mesa end up recruiting you, and like, when did they offer you scholarship? Kind of take us through that timeline and how that all happened.
Yeah, they're like in my process probably the last school that did offer me. So I mean, I was talking to them throughout my senior year, and they're just, they're always saying like, "Oh, we'll wait till next week, see how you are." And they're always looking at their boards. And I got a couple other D2 offers, and I've been in contact with them, and I think it was towards the end of the season, one of their coaches called me and just said, we're gonna offer you a scholarship. And D2, I don't know how it works, but like, I mean, they're not all full scholarships. Yeah, they gave me a dollar amount of how much they're gonna pay out of my school and to help out with housing. And yeah, basically took that, and I thought it was the best opportunity for me and decision at that point in time, and I think it was.
Yeah, definitely, man. And yeah, you hit on a good point of like D2 scholarships. I mean, generally speaking, obviously they removed the scholarship limits from all the division levels, but even now, still, like, to get a full ride D2 scholarship is relatively rare. I mean, definitely does still happen, but it's definitely not as common as an FCS full ride scholarship, or, you know, obviously at the FBS level, they only get full ride scholarships. So I'm curious, would you be open to kind of talking about like the scholarship, I guess, percentage wise, just like a rough estimate, so that way kind of people knew?
Yeah, I mean, if you want, I can just give the number.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, whatever you want to be open with.
I mean, they just offered here. That was the number they gave me, and I don't know if that's high or low compared to others. I was pretty like respectful of other people's scholarship. Like, I didn't really ask people, but that was what it was for me. And for me, I had a high GPA. I was a 4.0 guy out of high school. So just pairing that number with the academics, and I guess Hawaii being a Wu'i school, all the numbers kind of made sense for me. And so, yeah, the price tag wasn't too bad for you know, what I got there.
Yeah, awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, I imagine the academics probably bigger than the athletic. And yeah, I didn't even think that the Wu'i is the Western, I think it's Western undergraduate
exchange.
Gotcha. Yeah. And so yeah, that obviously helps out as well. That's awesome, dude. Yeah, I totally didn't even think about Hawaii being in that as well, but that's good. But yeah, I appreciate you being open about that. Yeah, I mean, it's just I imagine it came out to probably what, like, total scholarship amount was probably 60-70% of covering it, right?
Yeah, it covered a good amount, like, and then I also had some work study stuff, and so paired with that, everything was almost pretty much covered, so I was happy with that.
Awesome. Yeah, not much more that you can ask for that, so that's awesome.
Yeah, it was funny, I guess. The work study that we had was basically doing the laundry for our team. We didn't have a laundry equipment manager, so I remember, like, after, you know, I signed up for the job, and after practice, I'd be the one putting the clothes in the washer, drying it, hanging up in everybody's locker. And I was like, probably wasn't what I was expecting going to college, because my high school, we had a whole crew for that. But I like those moments, like, just being humbled, you know, knowing that, like, you know, you're never gonna take things for granted. And that kind of helped me out. And people saw that I was taking this job, and they would help out sometimes. So I like that part of my you know, career path.
Yeah, definitely, man. Appreciate sharing that. So yeah, I again appreciate you being open about the numbers and everything like that. I think, like, that is the reality that, you know, most of the time those academics and the little, like, tiny scholarships like the Wu'i, or, you know, there's different things that schools have that are more, you know, circumstantial, that usually add up to, you know, if you're not going FCS or FBS, like, usually that's going to be your primary of your scholarship amount. That was the case for me at Morningside. Was like, my athletic scholarship wasn't really that much. Like, it was around the same that yours was, and the rest of it was academic and, like, these nuanced scholarships that they throw in, and it made it up to, you know, 30K per year for the tuition over there. So it's like, it adds up a lot, and a big reason why you take care of your grades in high school, because that stuff helps out a ton. But yeah, definitely appreciate you sharing that. And then obviously you were at Colorado Mesa for 3 years, and then transferred to University of Northern Colorado. I guess, you know, everybody has that, you know, especially a lot of the high school guys now know that, hey, the transfer portal is there. I can always move up. And a lot of people have that ambition to do it. I actually, you know, we're going to be talking in a future podcast to another guy that made that move. He went from a D3 to Boston College. I mean, kind of talk about, like, the raw reality of, like, transferring up, like, what, I guess, what people should be aware of, you know, how realistic is it actually to transfer up, and what that process looked like for you as well.
Yeah, like, I mean, for me, in my head, it's a numbers game, and it's a big game of musical chairs, and like you said, it's like a dating, you know, like, they only have a certain amount of spots, and you can be really good, and if they don't have a spot for you, you know, it doesn't really matter. So I like to, like, do some research, kind of see how other rosters of teams that you would like to go to, see how much positions they have at, how much spots they have at your position, and kind of be realistic to see if, like, do they even have the opportunity to even take you. And also, yeah, being honest with yourself. A lot of people feel like they can move up levels. I mean, these coaches now, there's so much players that want to move up to their level that they're going to be pretty pretty spot on with their analysis and their scouting. I'd say it's definitely a challenge, but if you do your research and, you know, get some advice from, like, people who know the system, that'll be your best bet to make sure that you're making the best decision.
Yeah, for sure. I'm curious, like, did you, I mean, kind of what was your plan heading out of the transfer portal? Like, what, because I think that's one thing, like, I didn't go through the transfer portal. I went through the transfer process with junior college, but it's not, you know, it's not exactly the same thing. But, you know, what was kind of like your plan with heading out of the portal? What was your mindset with it all? And I'd also be curious on, like, I imagine you had other teammates that went to the portal. I know one of them with Trevin, but, like, you know, what happened in their cases as well? Because, I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I know, like, the numbers are, you know, relatively slim if you're trying to transfer up. And, you know, definitely want to talk more about that, the reality there.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. Like, a lot of people who enter the portal actually have different motivation. You know, like, some people want to play at the highest level possible. Some people just don't mind if they're at the same level, just want to get a fresh start. For me, my thing was I wanted to play at the D1 level, so that was just one check mark. And I wasn't honestly looking for a spot. I know a lot of people want to be in a spot where, like, they're automatically the starter or, like, they're automatically given. I knew that if I can get into just a room, I could work my way up. And that's what it was for me. And I know some other people also, like, you know, they want a scholarship offer. That was like a mandatory for them. But for me, I was willing to, you know, pay some money and earn a scholarship. And I just wanted the opportunity at a D1 level. So that was my motivation. I know some of my other friends have the same motivation or different. And so it's kind of like, depending on what you're motivated by, that will also kind of change your approach to attacking it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's always like, you know, what exactly you need, what are your goals? And, you know, obviously it worked out pretty well for you last year in terms of, like, how you performed and, you know, you got that opportunity. I know you helped them earn their first win of the season, and that was awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's very unique person to person. That's why I always say to families, just, like, you have to do things intentionally, because, like, I think a lot of, I mean, this is just my outside stuff. Obviously, we don't know every situation, but a lot of people have that mindset of, like, you know, I'm transferring to go and be the starter at the next school, be an All-American, you know, I'm only going to transfer to an FBS school and, you know, be the guy. And that's just, you know, again, it's such a, you know, you see those stories so often, obviously, because they're going to be the ones that pop up, but it's like, it's so rare. And so obviously having that set goals, like, if that is your goal, awesome. But, like, you also have to know what that takes to ultimately get there. And I think you did it the right way, and that, like, you knew, hey, this is kind of what my situation is. This is going to give me the best shot at doing so. And you got it done, which is awesome. And you end up in a good situation. I know one of the things I did want to hit on was some of the unique exposure methods that you used when you're going through the transfer portal. I mean, kind of talk about some of the things that you would think through when you were going through that process, just trying to get in touch with coaches, because obviously that's, like, the biggest issue that most family face. And that can be so difficult. I know you did some unique stuff that was helpful that I've kind of heard of, but anecdotal stuff. So we'll love if you shared on that.
Yeah, I mean, that, for me, I like to say I'm like a pretty, I like to think deeply about different things and try to think out of the box. So yeah, I mean, going through the portal process, I knew, like, I don't know the number, but thousands of people are on this portal talking to a few coaches. And so they're getting bombarded from left and right. So I wanted to make sure, like, when I did contact them, you know, my stuff would stand out. And so I'd kind of, like, on Twitter, I don't know if you can still do it now, but you can check, like, if a coach liked the post recently or if a coach posted recently, you know, I knew that he was on his Twitter account. I knew he was active. And so I would then go and try to message those guys because I know they're on the app. I know they'll see my message, stuff like that. I'd also, like, look up all the stats for the week, see which schools honestly were struggling on offense, because they probably would be more inclined to look for a quarterback versus a team who's killing it on offense, you know, just kind of supplying the demand and kind of seeing what teams want. I know we talked about this before, but also like I had a big spreadsheet of all the teams' bye weeks. College coaches just have more time generally on a bye week versus game planning, and so I would plan out all my communication with certain teams during those bye weeks and maximize the amount of attention I could get. And also just trying to find coaches' phone numbers. I guess they have a lot of people emailing them and DMing them, but not a lot of people texting them on their phone numbers. So, you know, I made it a thing to sometimes even go on top of the roster and ask players, like, hey, could you hook me up with your coach's number, or could you, like, put a word in for me? And kind of a combination of all those things put together kind of made a direct focus and a little bit more successful than if I maybe haven't used any of those techniques.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, like, what you did was, you know, just get more, you know, more creative with it. And you were like, hey, like, what can I do to get myself the best shot? And that was, you know, really like just exploring every opportunity. Like, I think a lot of people would be, you know, scared that that stuff's not going to work and it's not going to be useful. But it's like, maybe you come at it from the right approach, as I'm sure you did with your messages and everything like that. Like, yeah, you can get in touch with some players that will be like, hey, man, like, yeah, I heard we're looking for a quarterback. We're looking for a receiver. Would love to put you in touch with him. You know, I'll pass along the info or whatever. And it, you know, it works out a surprisingly amount of times, especially if you do it like the right way. So, yeah, I mean, it's again, testament that like, you know, there's ways to do this stuff that, you know, not everybody necessarily thinks about, but, you know, actually taking on it, action on it is a huge part of it. So, which again, works out for you pretty well. So, I know you also got your brother, you know, PWO over to BYU. And, you know, I think that's a pretty awesome thing is that, like, you know, you were able to do it again to help out your brother with that. I mean, what was some stuff that, I guess, an interesting thing would just be like, what did you learn from your recruiting process? Plus you're going through the portal and everything like that. And then you also helped out your brother. Like, what were some things that, like mistakes that you made in your past processes that you then applied to your brother and, you know, really stuff that you try to emphasize with him. I know when we talked about it, you talked about like the bye week stuff was definitely a big thing that you guys added in. Was there other stuff that you felt like was super helpful to him?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, I can't really think too much about like problems I did throughout my recruitment, but I mean, for him, just as a prospect, he's different than me. He's 6'4" and I'm not. And that was a big thing. Like, we could definitely like just prioritize his height because I mean, a lot of coaches, they love height. That's just the nature of the game. And so that was kind of my approach to it. Just show off throughout Twitter and through social media and the way he can play. Like, I knew that that's something coaches could look at. Yeah, like you said, I was trying to be kind of the same creativity as I did throughout mine. Once offers started rolling in for him, I could tell like coaches would catch on, and I guess momentum is very real in recruiting. I could see it with him. You know, it starts off, he didn't have any offers going into senior year, maybe like 2 D3s, and so just slowly they start coming in, and eventually we've got the eyes of BYU and Provo. It worked out.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't realize he was 6'4". That's rough that you got the bad side of the jeans.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, because how tall are you? You're like 6'5".
I'm 5'10". I'm 5'10".
5'10", jeez.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. I'm a lot. Didn't really hear you. My other brother's 6'3", so it hurts. It really hurts.
That's rough, man. I feel for you there. So that sucks. So that's frustrating right there. But obviously you made it work with it. I think another cool thing is just like you obviously played at the D2 level, you played at the FCS level. Good schools were both in the same state. I mean, any kind of, and I know you guys are also playing you said you're playing an RMAC school as well in this season. So like, what is kind of the difference between D2 and FCS that you've seen so far? Obviously, like you went from a relatively, I'd say, top tier D2 conference to definitely a top tier FCS conference with the Big Sky. What are some comparisons that you've seen between the two in terms of like, roster wise, just the guys on the team, to a competition, as people always are curious about the level of competition, how that differs, Everybody knows that, generally speaking, obviously the stadiums and whatnot facilities are going to be a little bit different, but would be curious to hear your what things that you noticed were differences and which were actually much closer in similarity than people might think.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, starting off, like, D2 got dogs, and I think we all know that. I mean, all levels have some good players. I know a lot of guys at D2 could definitely play at the D1 level for sure. And a lot of guys at D1, like, maybe they're not really good enough, and they should be at the D2 level. So there's a little bit of both. I think probably the biggest thing is the depth of the roster. The D1, once you get down to the twos, the threes, the fours, there's a little bit more skill and more talent than obviously the lower levels. I think just at being at the D1 level now, there's like a lot more staff members like helping out. That's one difference I see, and obviously you play in bigger stadiums, you get more attention, you get more of that stuff. So that's different. Speeds, I'd say speeds definitely a little faster. But other than that, I mean, I've always liked the adage that, I mean, football is football at whatever level. A hitch is still a hitch at D2 or D1. Like, you just got to make all the same throws, the game the same way, and yes, up your level.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Love that you started off with just how D2 has good players too. I think every player that has played at different division levels or knows guys at different division levels, I mean, all know that. And I think it's plenty of disrespect that goes D2's way and NA's way and D3's way. And there's good players at all levels for sure. So I can't agree with you there more. Obviously, one thing you hinted on is like the atmosphere in terms of like stadiums and whatnot. And I know you made your first start at I think it was it Montana or was it Montana State?
Montana State.
Montana State. Obviously, that's I mean a pretty good environment over there. You had to make your first start over there. I mean, what was that like, and how did you deal with some of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the number, I don't know, it was in the 20,000s attending that game, and that being my first start, I mean, it was, I guess you can say it was nerve-wracking, but that's the opportunity. Like, I've worked for my whole life for stuff like that. I guess being at the D2 level, you get crowds from like 1,000 to 3,000 around there, so it's a jump and a half. But I loved preparing that week and kind of the whole season, just kind of prepare for moments like that. And honestly, felt good out there. Like I said, football is football, and so just more people watching you at that point.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, right on point there. Obviously, a really cool environment to be in. That's awesome that you got the
The
opportunity.
crowd noise, I mean, the crowd noise does make a difference. So that
And
you have to adjust to that, and like other places, that is definitely a thing.
well, you guys operated. Were you guys no huddle, or what was? What's like? What's your
Think
guys'
at the time we were no huddle. And then towards the end of the season and going into this new season, we're been a huddle team.
Okay, so were you guys? At that time when you guys were going no huddle, I mean, with the crowd noise, did you guys play that as a factor at all, or did you guys prep for that?
There was a little bit because I would still have to tell the O-linemen the verbiage. So, I mean, there's a little bit of that. But honestly, we had so much signals that the crowd didn't really matter. The only thing we had like a cadence in place, like a hand. Putting a hand down cadence just in case, but the crowd didn't get that crazy that we needed to go that route. But
Got it. Yeah, I think it's. I always think there's just. I mean, again, being a nerd of football and being a quarterback, there's always fun nuances of like, certain situations. Obviously, crowd noise is always it can be a factor once you get to that kind of level. And it's like, there's certain things that you can do with the silent count. You can do certain things with changing up different schemes, just accounting for that. So it's always interesting to see what different people do. But yeah, man, awesome opportunity. So yeah, I guess. With some of the just opportunities that you've gotten, going from D1 or D2 to D1, going through that experience, gonna have a lot of different kind of seen it a lot of different ways in terms of like your process going from Hawaii, all that kind of stuff. I mean, what do you feel like are some lessons that you learned in the recruiting process, experiences that you had that would help other families out there that may be listening to this or athletes that are listening to this.
I guess I would say, like we've talked about, you have to be very intentional, and like you have to know, like, this is this is something that you really want, because like it's not something that I'd say you can be 50% in, 50% out. Like if this is a goal that you want, then you want to invest in it, you want to make it happen. And that's what I've done, and I've seen other families do that, and I've seen like super talented kids not feel that way and obviously not make it to the next level. So I guess that's the first question you kind of ask yourself, like, is this something I really want? And if it is, then you can look into, you know, how others have done it and the ways that people have done it before, because, you know, success leaves clues. And yeah, that's a good question just to ask yourself at the beginning of this process.
Yeah, definitely. I imagine, and like, this is a common theme that I see across like families that have succeeded or just other athletes that I know that have succeeded. It's like often the way that we view things is, I don't know, I think maybe not necessarily like what everybody would think, in that I imagine you thought the same way too. It's just like, I love football. I'm going to pretty much continue playing football however I can. I really don't care where necessarily. Like, I'm going to find a school that, you know, likes me and that I feel like is a good opportunity for me, and I'm probably going to take it. I know that's kind of what I did with me. Like, I had out of high school, I mean, you said 4.1. I was right around the same. You know, I went the junior college route, which like a lot of people at my school were like, why are you going JUCO? Like, that's weird or whatever. And it's like, I want to go play football and go find a good school. And that worked out for me. And you know, I went to, you know, a small school on the Midwest to go play, and, you know, had a blast over there. But, a lot of, you know, there's obviously some families that, or kids that don't feel that way. And that's perfectly fine. It's just like, it's an honest question that you have to ask yourself, because it, you know, you're just not going to get the best results if you don't do that. And you're not committed to this process. And again, everybody's got different goals, different ways of doing things. But you need to make sure that you're aligned with that. So I think you're right on the point there. Well, shoot, man, I don't have anything else for you. Appreciate your time. It's been a blast, blast having you on, getting to catch up and everything like that. I don't know if you, want to shout yourself out on X or anything like that, in case people want to follow you and ask you any questions. But again, appreciate having me on, or having you on.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, all my social media is basically my name, Kiai Kione, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. But yeah, I appreciate Trenton. I know I've known you for some time now, and you know, I'm super in awe of what you've done and what you've continued to put together, and you know, just happy to be along throughout this process.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Appreciate having coming on, and it's been a blast talking. Yeah, appreciate you guys for watching. This is going to be the first episode of, you know, however many that we're going to do. So yeah, super glad you came on, and you know, if you like this, be sure to subscribe or follow wherever you're checking this out, and I'll see you guys in the next one.